This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is a weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. In this interview, Professor of Health and Physical Education and Sports Sciences Dr. Blair Dean and Physical Education Senior Lucy Berner discuss research involving how exercise can affect students' performance on high-stakes testing, such as the ACT exam given to high school students. Dean gives an overview on the research.
Well, Lucy and I have been working on this project for roughly 6 months, I guess.
I think since May. Is that when we started?
And I don't know. Do the math for me. She probably remembers a lot better than I do, but she actually came to me she just wanted to know, would I chair her honors thesis? Mm-hmm. And I said, absolutely. I said, do you have any ideas? And so, you know, we sat down and we bounced some ideas off of each other. We share a lot of the same common interest. And so she knew my background and she knew what my research platform, you know, has been for many, many years. And she wanted to take, I guess, a different twist to what I had been doing and really specifically focus on the effects of physical exercise on high stakes testing, more specifically the ACT test. And so we did a lot of discussion and research and bounced articles back and forth. And, you know, we came to the conclusion that this would be something that would be beneficial to everyone. I mean, there's so many people that could actually benefit from the results of this study. And what we did was look at the effects of acute physical exercise and more, you know, again, that would be a 20-minute treadmill.
Yes.
Walking at moderate physical exercise. So we're actually monitoring the participants' heart rate as they're walking on the treadmill to make sure that they are in that moderate zone, which is about 60% of their maximum heart rate. So they're doing that for about 20 minutes prior to taking the ACT prep test. And so I'll let Lucy talk a little bit about, not only are we looking at their achievement on the exam, but we're also looking at the participants' mood, because a lot of these students, they're nervous. They know that, I wouldn't say that their life depends on it, but their college entrance exam is pretty important and it's very, very competitive. So we have all heard in the news about the Varsity Blues and how that, as we are watching that unfold on TV right now, we know that parents and students will go to extreme measures to get those high ACT or SAT scores. And so we were looking at alternatives to help the students increase their test scores by the research that we have been, you know, looking into as far as the mind and the body connection and how we turn on the brain when we are actually engaged in physical exercise. So we're turning on the executive functions of the prefrontal cortex. And I don't want to talk, you know, beyond the listener's knowledge by any means, and we're not neuroscientists, don't claim to be, but we do know that the brain is positively affected by exercise. And our hypothesis was, if the students are turning on their brains prior to taking the exam, it's equivalent to warming up before you exert yourself in a sporting event. You know that, you know, warming up the body and the muscles is important, and the brain is a muscle, and that's, you know, our, I guess you would say, our foundation.
Yeah.
Well, so go ahead, talk. Okay. I want the students to talk, so go ahead, Lucy.
So for me, a lot of my interest in this started, I was in one of Dr. Dean's classes, and she was talking about the effects of exercise on the brain in about a specific instance with a school called Naperville Central High School.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they instituted what's called Learning Readiness PE. And so for what that is, students exercised and their exercise occurred in their physical education class, and the school district adopted it so that the students were in this special PE class directly before one of their hardest subjects or a subject that they were in a remedial class for. And it really transformed that school for them academically, because they found that the students were in a much better move and achieving academically a lot more if they went to these difficult classes for them right after their PE. And their PE class was different in that they were heart monitors in their PE, so it tracked their heart rate, so they were actually exercising in that moderate intensity for the PE class. So I thought that was really interesting. I went on to read a book called Spark by John Rady, who he is a neuroscience professor.
At Harvard, yeah.
Yes. And that got me even more interested in it. And for me, the ACT and the SAT were a really big deal. And like my high school experience, I was very focused on it. And so I was starting to think what would happen if we combined what they did at Naperville Central High School, but for the ACT specifically. So that's where I like got my interest in it. And then we did more research and realized it was something we could actually pull off and do. And so I want to do more research in it for my master's thesis and the effects of exercise on the ACT or the SAT. So that's right. Where my interest got started in it.
So what is it about exercise that would make for those possible positive results for that? Is there something, you know, within the exercise itself that does that?
Yes.
What is it about that could, you know, contribute to something like that?
So our brain is very, very complex, and we are learning a lot more about the brain than we even used to know. And one of the biggest things with exercise is the neurotransmitters that are released. So one of the three biggest neurotransmitters are norepinephrine, serotonin, and dopamine. And those are basically your feel-good neurotransmitters, and they help you feel good and your executive function, which is making decisions. So if you're in a better mood going into something difficult and you also have a heightened ability to make decisions, to remember things, you can perform academically better. And then we're also looking at a recent thing. Well, it's not super recent, but we know now about the brain that we didn't used to know, is that our brain is very plastic. So that means it can change throughout our life. And that goes into when you exercise, it releases a substance called BDNF in your brain, which is basically, well, they talk about it in the book I referenced, Spark.
It's brain-derived neurotrophic factors. And so basically, when you are engaged in exercise, your brain does release this chemical, and it's been termed as miracle growth for the brain. So, yeah, as your eyes pop up, it's like, why wouldn't everybody want to exercise, you know? But what I do want to interject really quickly, and that is to say that the research has been done extensively on chronic exercise. Mm-hmm. So we know that the more physically fit an individual is, that correlates directly with their academic achievement. And so many states, and I'll mention the first one that did it was the Department of Education. They test all students with their physical fitness test, which was measuring six components of physical fitness: cardiovascular, muscular strength, and endurance, flexibility. And what they did is compared those scores with their STAT9 scores, and they showed a direct relationship that the more components of physical fitness they passed, the higher their test scores were. Mm-hmm. So that study has been repeated and modified in different ways, and it proves to be very, very effective that chronic exercise is wonderful for the brain. So we took that approach and decided we wanted to see if acute exercise would have any type of effect on the students' test-taking skills because of what we knew about the prefrontal cortex.
Yeah.
Right. So tell us about, have you been able to gather some data? Or have you all been able to work in that regard so far as to what you all have seen with your testing here at A-State?
Yes. So data collection is actually completely finished. We finished that off last semester. We do think... we did run into difficulties with our study. We only had so many resources to gain participants, so we didn't end up with as high of as a number, and we think that has played a part in our results. So sure. I don't think we have all the results worked out yet statistically. We're still waiting on some of those back, so that's still in process. But I would definitely be interested in seeing the results more if we had more participants in the
absolutely.
Study.
Absolutely. And I think another thing, too, that we're going to discover is that our participants were young. And I don't really know how invested they were in the exam. You know, I don't know if it was more mom and dad are forcing me to come up here on a Saturday. Or if it was, you know, more intrinsically motivated, yeah. I think maybe we would have seen maybe different results.
Well, I think when we set this up, we decided that resource-wise, in my experience with resource, research, it would be better to do it with an ACT prep test than with a real ACT test.
Sure.
And that definitely plays a huge part in the intrinsic motivation for these students, because it is just a prep test, not the real ACT. So we definitely think that will play a part in our results that we get back.
Right. It's still fascinating research. And when you take a look at what this could possibly do by way of making a difference in the communities, and that, I guess kind of the sky would be the limit for being able to do that. What are your thoughts on what this could do, Dr. Dean, by way of possible impacts in the communities?
Well, I wear another hat, and that is I'm a mother of two, and my youngest is 18, and we have taken the ACT more times than I really want to admit on the show. And so, you know, I really think that some of the resources that are out there are not as effective as what we think that they are, and I think a lot of parents are paying not only a lot for multiple retakes, but also for the tutorials and the preps. And I just don't know. Lucy could probably speak a little bit better on this subject. But from what I understand, they're not as effective as what we think that they are.
Yeah.
And so what we were trying to do is find a means that was not as costly that everyone could do. It would be all inclusive. I'm not saying that everybody could get on a treadmill, but we could ignite the brain and turn it on physically, even sitting down in a chair, using more parts of the brain. That is definitely what happens when you exercise. You ignite more parts of the brain. And so I think that would be something that would be beneficial, not to just teachers, but to parents and students and counselors. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, when we went into the literature review on this is when I learned a lot about how our current ACT resources that we're using to try to improve our ACT score are not as effective as we thought. I wish I could name this source off my head, but we found a study that was done on the major ACT prep resources that people were spending their money on, mm-hmm. and the average gains were 1 point on the ACT. So that is not what you would expect out of the big business that ACT prep really is at the moment. And so we think that it's very beneficial to look at other alternatives and be able to get statistics out there for people that might be able to improve more than a point on.
Yeah, sure.
Is it a challenge? Because I know that Arkansas is one of those states that has a major problem with obesity. Is it a challenge to get people who are not physically active to want to do something like that, even if it's just for a treadmill walk of 20 minutes?
I think it would be a lot easier if we had more information out for these people on a regular basis. You know, if you're a counselor at your school, everyone's going to someone saying, how can I get better at the ACT?
Sure.
But if these people were then giving the information, what if you were physically active more instead of coming into the ACT half asleep at 8 a.m.? You know, if we were able to give the school counselors and parents and all that information on how this could help, it'd be a lot easier to get the average person,
you know,
being active.
Well, I think a lot of people still are under, you know, the old thinking that I'm only going to get on a treadmill if I need to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. It's not
and
all about weight.
Yeah, it's yes. And that, to me, is what we need to educate more people, especially younger people, about just the positive benefits of physical exercise. It's more than just losing weight. It's the mental, it's the physical, it's the emotional. It's everything that is affected by our physicalness. And so I definitely think that if students were aware of the value and the purpose of physical exercise, I think they would be more engaged to buy into this idea instead of I'm not about to get on the treadmill unless someone's chasing me. You know, a lot of people have that attitude. You know, the only time you'll ever see me running is if someone is, you know, or a lion is coming after me, you know. So really, I would love to get the negativity associated with exercise, you know, away from people. I just, of course, you know, I'm not one to talk about exercise.
But. Yeah. Well, Dr. Dean, she loves running. I personally strongly dislike running. I just really don't like it. And I was on the track team here for a long time, and I'm saying that. Like, I did run a lot. you know, our physical education programs, I think right now, are a little bit failing our students when it comes to the exercise they're going to do throughout their life. A lot of our PE programs focus on sports, but there's a statistic out there that less than 3% of adults stay active by playing sports. So I think a big difference would be made if, you know, our schools and PE programs focused on teaching children ways they can be physically active after their sport careers are over, you know, running, yoga, CrossFit, kickboxing, you know. I wish that when I left high school, I had tried a lot of other forms of exercise other than I was an athlete. So I did sports all day long, and I really wish our kids were exposed to other ways to stay active than just sport or just running, you know.
I totally agree. And going back to Naperville, Illinois, and the school that is just, you know, our guiding light as far as physical education, they have daily quality physical education K through 12. And that is so, I mean, it's huge. And these kids, I toured the school and stayed there for a couple of days, and they got to see how the system worked. And when I pulled up to the high school, there were students outside. Of course, the snowdrifts were taller than I am, you know, and they were outside with kayaks, and they were making these obstacle courses through the snow. And, you know, everything about that school was, to me, focused around the children being physical. There were two Olympic-sized pools. There was high ropes, a low ropes. There was rock wall. There was a fitness studio that was giving them biofeedback. Like, you know, the heart rate monitor is the biggest equalizer. And all of these kids were equipped with heart rate monitors. And so they could see, you know, where are you in the zone? It's kind of like Orange Theory. People are really going to that right now. And that's their concept, is you want to be in the orange. Well, we want these kids to be in their target heart rate zone. And like you said, when you're 50 years old and you're looking at a doctor and he says you have high blood pressure, that 5 out of 5 free throw skill set is really not going to do you that. You know, not going to do that much for you. But knowing that if I engage in physical activity and, you know, whether it's walking or running or CrossFit.
Like being able to try all different ways to be physically active. And the other thing is, I think I do also do research with Dr. Doig on campus. And part of my research for that has been on perceived competency of 3 to 5 year olds about their ability to perform various motor skills. And what we found for these children at that young age is that their perception of themselves had no effect on their ability to develop their motor skills. But later in life, when you go into literature review on it, your perceived competence of your motor skills plays a huge part in your ability to stay physically active. Like, I was in a PE classroom just today because I'm interning, and, you know, there were students in there that already had their mindset that they are not good at catching the ball in a game we were playing, so they did not move. They sat in their spot. And so the other thing is, we really need students from a young age and kids in schools to be learning their motor skills and all that, so that when they get older, they still want to keep participating and they know what they are good at, not just what they're bad at.
Right.
But I think schools, too, would benefit from, you know, Lucy's research, because if anything's going to be cut from the school, it's going to be your specials, you know, like music, art, and physical education. And really, I think we're doing the students a disservice by eliminating the physical activity opportunities they have throughout the day, whether that's recess or whether that's physical education. I think we would be adding more to their success if we allowed them to exercise the brain and take a break from that desk-bound work that, you know, we see kids that are sitting hours upon hours without any type of physical movement.
Right.
So whether, you know, the teachers could integrate a brain break or a pause and play just to engage the kids and get their heart rate up. And when you do that, you're going to feed the brain and you are going to turn on more parts of the brain, which I think that it's going to eliminate the, we all get it. When we sit for long, we get those monkey brains and what's for lunch and I've got laundry and, you know, that might not be the kids' thoughts, but what's on Facebook and I'm going to play Fortnite tonight, whatever their brains are thinking. I don't even know.
Right.
You know, but
helps keep
it, it does. It helps keep them on task. And so I think kids need more movement in the school day. And I think that we would see our higher academic achievement for their kids.
I had the pleasure of talking to a professor. I was just at the Hawaii International Conference on Education, and I was looking through the portfolio there, and I was so excited because I found a professor who was doing research on physical activities' effects on academic achievement. So I made a big circle around that and highlighted the page, and I was like, that's the one person I have to talk to. So he was from Southern California State University, I believe. I don't remember his name off my head, but I was very thankful to talk to him, and his research was on elementary schools and physical activity levels. And what he found is that he looked at the whole country and he picked out all the top elementary schools, and 95%, the top meaning the top academically achieving. And out of those, the top 95% had physical education available to them every single day. And so I thought that was, really big study to me, because it was, the top schools have kept physical education and they are still academically achieving higher than others who have put more classroom time in instead of PE time. So I thought that was I was very excited to learn about that study.
That's fantastic. And you can tell the passion that I know that Lucy has for this particular bit of research. Tell me, how has it been working with Lucy on this particular project?
Great. I mean, let me just sum it up really quickly. She has been, and she knows this, I've told her how proud I am of her and just her effort that she has poured into this. But I also think she, too, is passionate about it, and she wants to help, and she wants to have an impact on students, her future students, and on research. So she's an all-around wonderful student, person. She's very thorough. She's committed. I mean, when we were conducting the research, no, we have to do it exactly right, Dr. Dean. okay. So, I'm talking down to the color of pens we used. It was just, I love that about her. Lucy's going to keep you on your toes, and I really like that about students that take their own responsibility and initiative for what they're doing. And so I've enjoyed the ride, and I will always stay in touch with her, and we will continue to work on this and other projects. So it's been great.
Yeah. What's it been like working with her?
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's been great. I think a little backstory would make this more explain what's been like working with Dr. Dean. For me, I met Dr. Dean after basically a huge shift in my experience here at Arkansas State.
Mm-hmm.
I originally came here as a student athlete, and I started working and having classes with Dr. Dean right after I stopped being a student athlete. That switch is a really big one for any student who has to come out of it, whether it's in the middle of college, after college, stop being an athlete after high school, at whatever point, it's a big season of your life. And so I was really looking for new things that I would become passionate about. And I remember coming home from class with Dr. Dean, telling someone, I was like, this is weird, but I'm inspired when I listen to Dr. Dean talk in class. And I had never felt that way in a really long time about my peers and not peers, but what do you call it? Instructors. Yeah. And the people who were like a big part of my life, because I just come off being an athlete and being so focused on that.
Sure.
And so for me, it was like a breath of fresh air to have Dr. Dean. And then she became my advisor as because I was switching majors at the time. I was switching everything. It was all a brand new switch. So working with Dr. Dean has really given me new dreams and new goals that I didn't have before working with her. So and I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, thank you.
So do you feel like you're on the right track now for you?
Yes, I know for sure. I've been able to, what's the word for it? Just being able to focus on new things and be able to see results and be productive has been a really big deal for me.
Lucy's very goal-oriented, so she has like the next 10 years of her life planned out. And from the next, you know, she's heading to graduate school, and then, you know, her end goal is PhD. And so I really, there's no doubt in my mind that she will achieve and surpass all of her goals. And so
I just don't think I would have had the goals that I have right now if it hadn't been through meeting Dr. Dean. Dr. Dean was, I remember, like, when she she was the first one who told me, like, you could go and try to get a PhD. You could go on to grad school. And, like, I just cried. Like, I was, like, in her office crying for no good reason, because it was the first time in a while I felt like someone really believed in me and what I could do. So it was a really big deal for me, because I would not have what I would not want to be working on what I am right now if it hadn't been for Dr. Dean pointing me in the right direction.
We have built a very special relationship. I'm going to share a little story because I think it's fun. So I was running in a marathon. And it was what, August or September, this past semester, fall of 19. And so Lucy helped me achieve that goal. She paced me. She followed me.
Okay, she's run many marathons
without me. We had so much fun together. And when you run with someone, she ran in the last mile with me. I told her, I said, okay, well, so now we're like forever connected.
Help someone with the marathon?
Yeah, when you go
that far. A bonding experience.
We have swapped sweat.
Yeah, like seriously. I
don't even know if that's a term.
I was driving her car to like meet her at different checkpoints, and I was like watching the person who was in front to see how her head, and I was calling my mom, awesome. And I was like, you would not believe what I'm doing right now. This is so stressful. She's doing so much. Like,
it was a lot of fun. Yeah, and so it's really opened up. I've never had a relationship with a student like that outside of the classroom. And so it's been fun to just to connect with them as people and not as the relationship teacher-student. I mean, I think it's been very healthy, you know, of course. But we have probably crossed that line, you know, of just in the classroom that you don't get with students unless you're researching. You know, unless you're working on a project together and you see all sides of somebody come out is when you truly connect interpersonally with somebody. And I think it's been awesome experience.
You just
for
become
both
colleagues,
us.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's,
we are.
That's what it is, your colleagues.
I mean, we are going to, I told her, we're authoring this. Yeah. We're make a publication. I can't even get these words out of my mouth.
That's the
but
word.
Yes. What's the word? We're planning on going to, or I know you are.
Yes.
I'm hoping to tag along.
Yes, you should
tell them
to come.
Tell them about that.
I'll be going to NCUR, the National Conference for Undergraduate Research,
cool.
in spring break. And I already emailed Emily about Dr. Dean coming with me because it's just, I want her to be able to be part of that moment too. And to just tag back to what you're saying about, like, our relationship, I think it's important for students and their professors to be able to have that relationship where they see the rest of the parts of their lives. Because I remember the part of me deciding, like, career-wise wanted to do was I was struggling with, like, I wanted to have all of these goals, but I also wanted to be able to, like, have a family with that and be able to have a lot of focus. And if you only see the work side of your professors, you're only seeing the professional side. You're not seeing the rest of their personal life that's involved. But working with Dr. Dean has shown me, like, how much I can have and that I can have both sides of it, you know. And sometimes we're taught, not only as young people, but specifically as women, that we have to pick and between the two. And Dr. Dean showed me that, like, I don't have to do that, that I can have both.
And that's Professor of Health and Physical Education and Sports Sciences, Dr. Blair Dean, and Physical Education Senior Lucy Berner on the Create at State podcast. To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Create at State podcast on Spotify. You can also go to iTunes or Google Play. There's always a Create at State podcast page on KASU.org. And please tell others about the Create at State podcast. Also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That allows that to be able to get more ears to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you as always, and you're listening to A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves.